Dear friends in Christ, chances are you've never heard of Philip Nicolai, unless you're in the habit of looking at the bottom of the page in the hymnal to see who wrote the hymn or to see who wrote the tune for the hymn. Philip Nicolai was the pastor who wrote the hymn we just sang, "Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying." He wrote it at a time when 1,300 people had just died from the bubonic plague over a period of 6 months at the end of the year 1597. As you can imagine, it was an incredibly difficult time for many people and for him in particular. The song is an expression of Jesus' parable before us this morning, and it's a call for God's people, pictured as wise maidens, to be ready to meet Jesus, the bridegroom, who could return at any time. What an important time that was for a song like that. I suspect that God used that horrible disease to capture people's attention and turn them toward him as their Savior. He also used that plague to call many to the wedding hall of heaven. Philip Nicolai's song, and more importantly, Jesus' story of the 10 virgins, is intended to cause Christian people to watch for Jesus to return. It's an appropriate lesson for Saints Triumphant Sunday, because on that last day, the saints of God, Christians, will receive the victory of eternal life that only comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus gets our attention with this parable of the 10 virgins, and he calls to consider our answer to the question, are you ready for Christ's return? Jesus says that this is a story about the kingdom of heaven. By that, Jesus means God's kingdom as it is here on earth. When he calls people to faith, and then he rules in their hearts and in their lives. With this story, your Savior is encouraging you to listen closely and think deeply about this, because while this message may give you great joy, there is also the possibility that this is a sobering wake-up call for you. This story is found within a couple chapters worth of Jesus discussing the end of the world, and he's talking about being prepared on the day of his return. When you heard the words of the parable from Matthew chapter 25, did you think it a little weird that Jesus framed his return in terms of a wedding? That maybe shouldn't sound so odd to us, because God has always and often used this picture, this image of a wedding. Through the prophet Isaiah, he said, "As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you." And then, 700 years later, God's last prophet, John the Baptist, said this. So John said, "I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less." The wedding picture in this story includes the groom, or the bridegroom, which is Jesus. The day of his arrival is for the wedding is the last day when Christ will return. The virgins, the maidens, we would call bridesmaids, they represent the people found in the earthly kingdom of God, the people in the church. It's important to understand the particular wedding customs of Jesus' time. There was a religious ceremony called a betrothal. At that, the man and the woman were legally bound, but they didn't live together yet as husband and wife. Not for weeks and sometimes even months after that, they did not live together. A celebration would be planned where the groom would go to the house of the bride. The bridesmaids would go out in festive procession with lights to bring the bridegroom to the bride, and then he would take his bride to his home. Jesus' story takes us to the bride's home, where the girls are all waiting for the call that the bridegroom is approaching. Obviously, preparation was key if you didn't know just because you just didn't know when the bridegroom was going to come. So Jesus tells of five young women who were totally prepared to meet the groom and for that festive wedding celebration to commence. There were also five of them that were not prepared. Now, to look at them, they were all the same. They were all waiting. They're all holding lamps. But there was something that you wouldn't have noticed that distinguished one set of five from the other. Half of them were not really prepared. They didn't fully prepare for the groom to arrive. Come out to meet the bridegroom was the call, but the five wise virgins couldn't share their oil with them because there wouldn't be enough for both. And so the foolish five went out to get oil. But you heard the story. It was too late. They weren't prepared. The bridegroom returned, and they were shut out of the wedding celebration. Jesus reveals something here that God does talk about elsewhere in Scripture, that there are many who think they are prepared for Christ to return, but they're not. If you could look at every person whose name is on the membership at our church or any other church, they would all look somewhat the same. They all have lives, jobs, hobbies, talents, friends, family. But even non-Christians know that not everyone who's part of a church is a Christian. And this goes beyond the matter of hypocrites who believe something other than what they say. Jesus is talking about people who think they are prepared, but they're not. That would include people who attend church only out of habit. So they're just an outward shell of Christianity, but there's no living faith inside. It would include those who neglect Bible reading, who don't regularly hear God's word and receive the Lord's Supper. If faith were there at some point, they have not maintained it and replenished it with the means of grace. This is where it could be a sobering wake-up call for you. If you are neglecting God's word at home or are almost never here in worship, or have little interest in the sacrament, if you're not really maintaining your faith in these ways, or you're only habitually going through the motions of church, you may be the unwise virgin. And don't, in your defense, say, I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and think that that's going to save you. The devil knows that that's true. That's what James says. Knowing the facts is not the same thing as trusting in what Jesus has done and following him. Faith is trusting that and following Jesus and preparing for the bridegroom to return. So God has given you faith, and you're standing there among the collection of Christians, and you're holding the lamp. But if you're not always preparing, if you're not doing the things that keep the flame alive, the flame will eventually go out, and it may go out prior to Christ's return. That's what the parable's about. His return will come suddenly, and at that point, it will be too late to prepare. The door to heaven will be closed, and the unprepared person will be on the outside of heaven, eternally separated from God. Don't make the mistake that some people do, who, like the unprepared bridesmaids, thought they were ready, but they weren't prepared. Though tough to admit to yourself and to God, that may be where you're at. You haven't been preparing. The good news is that Jesus tells you this story so that you can be prepared. It's possible to be sure. It's possible to be sure that you are ready for Christ's return. And it may be that you actually are prepared. Whichever position you find yourself in this morning, there is encouragement to be found in Jesus' story. Jesus includes five young women to be our role models. They were prepared. Not only did they have their lamps lit, they had extra oil with them so that their light could be maintained until the bridegroom arrived. You and I can be prepared by doing the things that God would have us do and using the things that he has given us to use to keep the light of faith shining all the way until Jesus returns to take us to be with him in heaven to the eternal celebration of the marriage of Jesus and the bride, his church. Now, just as the bridesmaids, the wise ones, couldn't share the oil with the foolish girls, no one can give faith to another person. A wife can't give faith to her husband. You can't give faith to a friend. A parent can't give it to a child. Faith is personal. And preparation for Christ's return is something that you have to do for yourself. And you know the gifts that God has given you to do that. Bibles are plentiful. If you don't have a Bible at home and you lack the means to obtain one, I will give one to you. I have plenty of Bibles, and the church has plenty of Bibles. This is the only way God speaks to us today, is through his word. Let him talk to you. Let him comfort you. Let him encourage you. Let him guide you. A strong faith comes from hearing God speak to you. This is the most important reason you and I join for worship too, to have God come to us through word and sacrament. So you really don't want to be missing church unless you have to. It's here that you receive the comfort of forgiveness and the strength found in the Lord's Supper. Like the five wise virgins standing together preparing for the bridegroom, the friendships among God's people offer support and encouragement as we await Christ's return. Now, we would do well to remember that none of us is perfect, and our preparation is not perfect. But the prepared Christian is really the one who finds forgiveness in their Savior. They repent of their sins and they look to Jesus and his sacrifice for sin on the cross. They have a confidence in Christ and what he did for them, because God promises that forgiveness then is certain. They're prepared because they trust in that. It gives them a joy beyond anything else, a joy that can really be found nowhere else. You can be prepared. God has given you everything that you need to be like the five wise bridesmaids. And if you are prepared like them, you can look forward with joy to the church's bridegroom returning. Your joy comes from being prepared. And this is not an inappropriate pride and joy in your work of preparation. This is a joy that comes from knowing that Christ paid for your sin, that you are forgiven, that you're living with that trust in Christ, and it shows in your life. You are not sinless, and your works are not going to save you. But you are forgiven. You are prepared. And so you joyfully watch for Christ to return. This is one of those parables where Jesus provides the explanation. After the story, he says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." You and I don't know the day, the hour. We don't know the time when Jesus will return to call the saints of God home to him, the people that he has made holy. It's imperative then that we remain prepared and that we keep on watching. And our preparation is joyful because we love the God who loved us first. We live to offer our thanks and our love for God. And our watching is joyful because when Jesus returns, it will be to give us the goal of our faith, heaven. The eternal celebration that will begin on that day when we join all of those who have persevered to the end, who have remained constant in their preparation and who were watching and waiting and ready when the moment came. At that time, the struggle of preparation will be over. The work will be done. The joy of the saints being all together will be amazing. I just think of being with all of your friends, your loved ones who died in faith, who were prepared when they were called home. But even greater than that will be the joy of seeing our Savior face to face, being in the presence of the Almighty and the loving God for all eternity. Wedding receptions are fun, but they're nothing compared to the joy that we will have at the wedding supper of the Lamb, as it says in Revelation. May God bless you as you continue, or you renew, or perhaps today you begin your preparation for that great eternal celebration ushered in when the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, comes to take you home to be with Him. Amen.